Okay. We're now in a public hearing.
It's all changed.
And this is we have two public hearings today.
Sorry.
Glad to have everyone here too. So. But this public hearing is to consider a zone change from A1 agriculture to industrial for the Sigurd Storage Acquisitions LLC on parcels, that list of parcels 4-187-19, 4-187-14, 4-126-6, and 4-126-5. These parcels are near Sigurd. We have representatives from Desiree to kind of give us a little bit of a presentation here, and we're going to take public input on this zone.
Absolutely.
Change. So go right ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Maybe you ought to introduce yourself so we get Steve.
Yes, absolutely. So my name is Joel Puritz. I'm the lead project developer of D.E. Shaw Renewable for the Sigurd Storage Project here in Sevier County. I just have a few slides I'm going to show really quick to explain an overview of the project itself, you know, what we're thinking here, with the project, how we're supporting the existing solar facility here on site, just to give and also give an overview of who we are as a company. So I'm also here with my colleague today, Emma Cripps, and my colleague Shravan Balaji as well, representing the project. So. Just who DESRI is, really quick. We're an owner, operator, and developer of renewable energy projects throughout the U.S. We're one of the top five pure-play renewable energy power producers in the U.S. So our business model is develop, finance, own, operate, and maintain renewable energy infrastructure projects across the United States. In total, we have 75 projects in our portfolio spanning the entire span of the continental U.S., across 23 states. And to put the number of how many projects we have in that capacity number, 8.5 gigawatts is give or take a little less than double of the peak load of Salt Lake City. That averages around 4 gigawatts. So across all our portfolio of projects that are currently in operation or contracted, ready to be built, that's the size and scale we're operating here. But what's interesting about DESRI's portfolio is I draw folks' attention to the state of Utah. We are, by the end of this year, we will be the largest owner-operator of solar energy facilities here in the state of Utah. As folks know, we have the Sigurd solar project of 80 megawatts sitting just across from the project substation, across from the Sigurd substation. We have Hunter Solar in Emery County. We have Cove Mountain 1 and 2, all operational in Iron County. By the end of this year, that number is going to more than double from 440 megawatts, as I'm showing here, to well over 1,000 of investments in communities across the state of Utah. To just summarize what our request is, for the commission, we're rezoning the land that the parcels immediately across those four parcels that you mentioned, Commissioner Johnson. We're rezoning those from agricultural to industrial, and then as a follow-on, we've also submitted an application for a conditional use permit for the land use itself. The battery project will be directly supporting the existing solar facility. It'll be connecting to the exact same facilities, and it is being designed and is meant to support the solar project when the sun's not shining, whether it be a cloudy day or it be nighttime. We want to be able to discharge power onto the electric grid, and this battery is going to allow the solar project to do so. To give a little more context as to what this project's going to look like, you can see the map on the right. All the area outlined in blue, that's the existing solar panels for our Sigurd solar project. The area in the southeast outlined in yellow, that small little area down there, that's where the battery's looking to go. This will take up approximately 20 acres as built of a footprint. The disturbed area itself, what is permanently structured, will be give or take around 7 acres for the final design of the battery. So. In comparison to the broader solar facility, very small impact, but it will be able to, on a moment's notice, discharge the same amount of energy that the solar facility produces in an instance for a period of 4 hours. And to put the size of Sigurd Solar in perspective, it produces enough power to power approximately 12,000 homes when it runs at peak capacity. And so this battery is going to be able to do that exact same thing. It will source power both from the electric grid. Let's say if it's cloudy, Rocky Mountain Power will still be able to charge the battery at its discretion. And of course, Rocky Mountain Power will be able to discharge the battery when the grid needs it. So where the project currently sits, we're currently targeting starting construction on the project as early as the first quarter of next year. That will likely probably be closer to April or May, given our current timeline. And we're looking to bring the project online in the first half of 2026 to help Rocky Mountain Power meet its summer peak loads and support like the grid's operation in the area.
You said 2026?
Yes, sir. That's what we're targeting right now. Commercial operation for the site. I think conservatively, first half of 2026.
When it'll be up and running.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And if that changes, obviously, folks here will be the first to know. But that's, you know, if I wave the magic wand and everything within our power occurs on the Desiree side and as a developer, 2026 is when we're targeting to bring the project online. So just to zoom in really quick, just look at like the layout. This is just a more zoomed in image of the product I showed on the previous slide. You can see the right now what we're planning, and I think the first question a lot of folks asked is, we have four parcels that we're permitting here. We recognize that the project's footprint is a lot smaller than the four parcels we're permitting. This comes as, honestly, it is a favor to our construction folks that there are sometimes when we explore the chain of title, when we explore like real estate on a particular site, this happens a lot with solar. Sometimes we need to move panels around and we can't use every parcel the way that we want to. So having the additional acreage permitted and rezoned gives us that flexibility to re-site the project if needed, if we need to move further east to accommodate setbacks, mineral rights, anything that may come up in the diligence process as we finalize and get ready for construction. So I wanted to call that out specifically as to, you know, why for a 20-acre footprint, you know, why we're asking for the four parcels we mentioned. And then this is just, I apologize, the font always comes in a little grainy on this, but this just shows some of the basic components of what these systems look like. This is a preliminary design subject to finalizing with our engineers. But what I can say as a general component, there will be the battery containers themselves, and in the middle of every one of them, there is this, there's a lot of electrical equipment that ramps up the power to be injected into the grid. And then there are spaces on the sides of each battery. So over time, like 5 to 10 year intervals, we go back and we add a few extra smaller batteries to the side to accommodate for batteries degrade over time. They lose their charge and discharge. It's a normal part of the process. We take that into the design. So normally, 99.9% of the time, this is a very passive asset, doesn't require a lot of like manual inputs, but every few years, we go in, add an extra battery to the side to make sure that it can still meet its power generation requirements. And so this is what the final product looks like. What I've pictured here is our Arroyo solar project plus battery storage project in northwestern New Mexico. And this is a visual depiction of what we see the final product looking like here, subject to some final design changes, you know, as the technology continues to advance. We're looking at 6 to 12 months to build the project, including testing and commissioning. So that's why we're targeting starting construction the first half of next year, coming online the first half of 2026. And every aspect of how this is designed and where things are placed is heavily influenced by best practices for roadside access, setbacks, spacing, access to each individual container, U.S. fire code, every safety measure imaginable is what is influencing the design and why this battery will ultimately look the way it does. I wanted to, following on the feedback of some previous touch points with the county, I think it would be good to just touch on like what it is we're actually thinking here. We are using a type of battery chemistry that is the most stable and with the most readily available components, most affordable on the market today. This is a different battery chemistry than what you will find in, say, an electric vehicle. Batteries that are mostly deployed, or that have been deployed in years past, are using nickel, manganese, cobalt as their base components. Those work great for electric vehicles. They have not necessarily worked at the utility, they have not as great at the utility scale as other products. So the point here is we're bringing state-of-the-art technology that's the safest battery chemistry available on the market. It is made with, the main components are iron and phosphorus, two of the most abundant elements like on the planet. We are like holding this, you know, as a firm requirement with our suppliers. It is the most chemically stable. It is the least flammable battery chemistry on the market by a huge margin compared to any other alternatives available. So, you know, this is something that, as the lifetime owner operator of this battery, that DESRI is taking incredibly seriously, and that from every element of our designs, every element of what we require from our vendors. Tesla is shown here as an example. Wanted to call this out specifically, and I'm happy to answer any follow-on questions the commission may have. And just to talk a little bit more about the risk management piece, there are libraries of codes at the federal level that we are enforcing when we design and operate this system, from underwriters laboratories to the National Fire Protection Association. Every aspect of how we are designing, building, operating this battery is coded, is regulated, and DESRI intends to follow every one of those standards to a T. Each battery also, I should mention, there will be probably, give or take, close to 200 containers of these battery facilities. Each one of them can be shut off individually. So we'll be monitoring them 24/7, 365 days a year. If there is any slight abnormality amongst the hundreds of different metrics that we are measuring at any given point in time, we can localize and shut off a specific battery. That's on the like electronic and computer side, but also on the physical side, the way the batteries are designed to contain any sort of, and again, these are all very unlikely events, like chemical discharge, fire events. There are probably 7 different levels of fail-safes built into these batteries and how they're designed to prevent any sort of like malfunction occurring. Two key points. We will be providing full emergency response plans to the county that explain in key detail like what to do in the unlikely event of some sort of malfunction. We will also be arranging for vendor representatives when the final technology is ironed out and designs are complete to come run training events with the fire department here in Sevier County, so that everyone knows up, down, left, and right what to do given in any certain scenario that could occur, as unlikely as they may be. So that's all I had. That's all I had to brief to the commission today. But wanted to make sure I took this time to answer any questions y'all had, and I really appreciate y'all's time.
I have a couple questions, Scott. I had 3 of them that I wrote down. So if we approve this, we'll be pulling out those 4 parcels, approximately 100 acres, out of ag. Will any of that stay in ag in those 4 parcels, or will we pull it all out right now?
It would be pulled out right now, but the plan is, if we are also, when we finally have designs and the like the full long-term plan for the site established, and there's no question as to what's going where, and do we need to move, a certain section of the batteries here because we're space constrained. Once all those questions are answered, we can definitely entertain going back and carving down the zoning afterwards.
Then on that, if we pull it out, and there's obviously water with it now, do you know if that landowner is looking to use that water to, to start farming, if you will, in another place, so that we don't lose any net agricultural ground with this? Do you know where the water is going, or anything to do with the water?
That's a great question. I could speak more to where water will come from during construction. The answer is like off-site, and we'll pursue that avenue separately. And it'll be on our construction teams to source water for the project. And I would say though, I'd have to contact the landowner and see what they have in mind for the water rights that are existing.
Sorry, and the last one, unless we have these batteries and we potentially have some waste, you know, a bad battery, will our county or our landfill be responsible to take care of those, any waste product from this, from the plan?
No, great question. None whatsoever. The responsibility of any waste disposal, I think the first time we met Commissioner Johnson, we spoke with Malcolm, like down to the cardboard of the boxes that are delivered, will not go in the Sevier County landfill. Also, we won't make it the county's responsibility to dispose of any any components on site. If we have a bad battery, no. We come in, we take that battery, and we cart it off ourselves.
Okay. Thank you.
No, absolutely. Thank you, sir.
So this is an opportunity for public hearing, and this, we'll have public comment. Commissioner Brown, you have a question, maybe?
Yeah, so you mentioned when the life expectancy starts going down, you add a small battery. Mm-hmm. What's the life expectancy where you'd have to replace a battery?
The whole facility? Well, it's a good question. We're designing the whole facility to last for the full 20-year life of the project, so we're not really baking a lot of excess in. So 20 years is my short answer. When the time comes and we're looking at the end of the 20-year life, obviously measuring the battery's performance itself could heavily influence, maybe we can get an additional 5 years out of this. We don't know until we see it in person, but 20 years is what we're designing the project around, what we're planning for, and that would be as what we're templating as the end of the project's useful life.
Perfect. Thank you.
No, absolutely.
Thank you, Joel. So the question before us here is to take input on considering the zone change from A1 agriculture to industrial. Anyone here care to comment to the zone change that's being proposed? If not, we'll note that the presentation was made and that opportunity for the public to give comment was given, and so we will move back into our commission meeting.
Do we motion that?
I think we just moved back in.